Getting a feel for lunar craters. For more resources and audio files, go to www.nasa.gov or lunarscience.nasa.gov. Keyword, tactile craters. Written by Dr. David Hurd, Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania. Tactile illustrations by John Matlock. Produced by Haptically Speaking. Funding through the NASA Lunar Science Institute. Hello, I would like to invite you to join me as we explore the moon and its wonders through this audio version of the text. I hope you have a copy of the tactile book handy so that your hands can explore the unique characteristics of what highlights the landscape of our moon. What is it about the moon that is so inspirational to you? Maybe it conjures up stories of mythological beginnings. Does it stir up memories of the past? If you are blind, maybe it is the verbal descriptions that you've heard about. Maybe you have a memory of once seeing it, or perhaps you can actually see it when it looms high and illuminates the dark sky. For those with vision, the moon often baffles us by being visible even during the day. It also intrigues us as we watch the visible portion of the round orb gradually change. These changing phases are due to the moon's revolution about the Earth, and therefore the moon's change in position with respect to the sun that illuminates it and the Earth that holds it in orbit. The phases bring the moon to life and highlight the complex moonscape of the hills and ridges and dark and light areas. Whatever it is that draws you to the moon, you can be sure that you are not the only one that has been fascinated with our nearest neighbor in space. For millennia, those who observed the sky wondered about the significance of our moon, its origin, and what has shaped and textured its landscape. As early as 300 BC, observers began to use the moon to make predictions about the scale of our solar system and expand our understanding of Earth's place in our cosmos. Today, our understanding of the moon has been enhanced by human exploration, orbiting satellites, and increased technology and imaging that has enabled scientists to map the surface and subsurface. Soon, robotic missions will go to the moon and return more rock samples, and future explorers will once again place their footprints in the moon's soil or regolith, just as the Apollo astronauts did over 40 years ago. Until then, we continue to learn more about the dynamics that have shaped the moon's landscape by viewing the moon through the eyes of instruments that uncover clues that lead us even closer to understanding the moon and its significance. This book is designed to give you the basics about the craters that are found on the moon. Tactile 1, the full moon. Let's start our exploration by observing the overall appearance of a full moon. Study the lunar surface featured on Tactile 1. Note that the tactile number and title is centered at the top of each tactile. The scale of each tactile is found in the upper right-hand corner and represents how many kilometers each centimeter on the tactile represents. A centimeter bar found just below the scale will help remind you how big a centimeter is. It may be helpful for you to use your fingers and determine which of your fingers is closest to being a centimeter across so that you can use that finger on each tactile as a guide. But remember, each tactile has a different scale, so your finger will represent a different amount of kilometers for each tactile. On tactile 1, move your hands around the outer perimeter of the moon, and you'll feel a rigid line meant only to define the shape or outline of the moon. The real moon is actually a sphere, or like a ball. Here it is represented as a circle, and the half you are exploring with your hands would come up out of the page towards you. To give you some sense of scale, the moon has a diameter of about 3,476 kilometers. This tactile is 20 centimeters in diameter. Therefore, each centimeter equals 174 kilometers. You can arrive at that by dividing 3,476 kilometers by 20 centimeters. Note that this information is also given in the upper right-hand corner of the page above the centimeter bar. Did you notice the relatively smooth regions and the rougher regions? The smooth regions are those that appear darker than the surrounding region when looking at the moon with the naked eye. These smooth areas are called martia, or mare for just one, which is Latin for seas or oceans. They once were seas of molten lava called basalt that poured from the moon's interior and cooled to solid rock. Find the mare near the middle labeled A. Now move your finger from left to right, horizontally through braille A, to get a better idea of the size of the mare. To the left of the A is a rough area, and to the right of the A is a rough area. How many finger widths is it across? If you multiply your number of finger widths times 174 kilometers, what is your prediction for how large the particular mare is? You probably just got over 3 finger widths, or about 522 kilometers. 3 times 174. This is a mare called the Sea of Serenity. Since it is not perfectly round, it ranges from 522 kilometers to 700 kilometers across. If you measure just below the A, you'll find it to be about 4 finger widths across. How did you do? The rough regions, or highlands, are marked with many pocks or holes called craters. From the samples returned to the Earth by the Apollo astronauts, scientists were able to determine that the basalt is younger in age than the lighter color rock found in the highland regions. If the maria are younger in age, why do you suppose they are smoother? Explore Tactile 1 some more. From the center of the tactile graphic, which is just below the A one finger width, and to the left one finger width, trace your finger straight down to the 6 o'clock position. At the edge of the moon, move 2 finger widths to the left and 1 up to find a large crater that your fingertip will fit into. This is where our journey about craters really begins. Craters come in 2 varieties. Some are formed by volcanic activities, and others are formed by asteroids and comets traveling in space that collide with the moon. Up until the late 1800s, most scientists believed that craters on the moon were formed by volcanism. However, in 1892, American geologist G.K. Gilbert postulated that craters on the moon were formed by objects in space impacting the surface of the moon. Gilbert used experimentation and his keen observations of debris fields to arrive at his conclusions. The crater on Tactile 1 you just explored was formed by an impact with a large object sometime in the past. Impact craters can be further classified as simple or complex. Simple craters have a bowl-shaped depression with raised rims that are 15 kilometers across or less. Complex craters are greater than 15 kilometers in diameter and have shallow, relatively flat floors, a raised central dome, and giant terraces around their walls. Some craters, larger than 300 kilometers across, have concentric rings rather than central mountains and are classified as impact basins. Once again, find the crater located at the edge of the moon tactile at the 6 o'clock position and 2 finger widths to the left and 1 up. This crater is called Tycho and was named after the great 16th century astronomer Tycho Brahe. The crater Tycho is 85 kilometers in diameter and is visible to the naked eye. Would it be considered a simple or complex crater? Tactile 2, Tycho. Turn to Tactile 2 in the book. Be sure and touch the centimeter bar in the upper right-hand corner of the tactile and note the number above it to get an idea of the scale. Tactile 2 shows 2 views of the crater Tycho. The tactile towards the top of the page represents a top view or bird's eye view from high above the crater. This tactile shows how the crater would appear if we were soaring high above the crater and looking down on it. The second view on the bottom of the page is a cross-section view of Tycho. Imagine this. You slice an apple into 2 pieces and then observe the peel, edible part, and the core. That would be the equivalent of a cross-sectional view of an apple. That is the same idea of what the bottom tactile represents, the view of a crater from the side, including what's above the ground and what's below the ground. Now go back and feel the top bird's eye view. Start from the left-hand side and trace your finger around the rim of the crater. Sighted assistance may help you determine the rim of the crater. Now notice that the central uplift, right in the middle of the tactile, is very prominent in Tycho. This is evident in the top view and is about 3 scale centimeters across. Using the scale for this tactile, about how wide is the central uplift? The central uplift is also noticeable in the bottom tactile or cross section. In the cross section, the surface of the moon trails off to the left and right of the hole, representing the crater. Starting on the far left, trace your finger along the surface of the moon and notice that it rises up to a peak and then down into the crater floor. As you continue to sweep your fingers along the floor, you'll notice the central uplift region that is found in the center of Tycho. Central peaks form by the rebound of rocks that were highly compressed at ground zero of the impact. The lines below the crater represent the fractured rock beneath the surface. Because the physical forces involved in an impact the size of Tycho and larger craters are so much more than necessary forces to make rock fracture, the surface around an impact area behaves much like water. Therefore, scientists can learn a great deal about impacts by studying slow-motion film of water droplets hitting a surface. Most of the features seen in water droplets are also accounted for in impact basins, including the central uplift, which is formed as debris in the middle is pushed up due to slumping or falling of the sides of the crater shortly after impact. Tactile 3, Moltke. Tactile 3 presents a top view and a cross-section of the crater Moltke. This crater is 7 kilometers in diameter. What kind of crater is Moltke? Simple or complex? Is there a central uplift? Using your scale finger on the cross-section view, what can be concluded about the depth of the crater with respect to its diameter or its depth-diameter ratio? Taking into account the differences in scale, what can be said about the depth-diameter ratio of the crater in Tactile 3 compared to Tactile 2? In other words, are smaller craters deeper compared to their diameter or more shallow compared to their diameter when compared to larger craters? Tactile 4, Schrödinger Basin. Tactile 4 represents a complex crater system that is so large, it is considered an impact basin which significantly alters the geology of the surrounding area. This particular basin is known as the Schrödinger Basin and is 320 kilometers in diameter. Notice that it has an uplift ring within the outer rim of the crater itself. This can be found on the bird's eye view and the cross-section view. Tactile 5, Theophilus. Now it's your turn. Explore Tactile 5 and the corresponding scale. This is the crater called Theophilus. What is your estimate of the diameter of Theophilus? Would it be considered a complex or a simple crater? On the cross-sectional view at the bottom of Tactile 5, explore the lines emanating down beneath the crater. These represent fissures or fractures where the underlying rock is cracked. It is evident that craters come in many different sizes, and the features of the craters are largely a function of the size of the object that makes the impact. But what about really large impacts? Could there be impacts that are even larger than Theophilus, Tactile 5, or Schrödinger, Tactile 4? Remember, Schrödinger is 320 kilometers in diameter. The answer is absolutely. In fact, the largest basin known on the Moon and possibly the solar system is referred to as SPA, or the South Pole Atkin Basin. SPA was first discovered by Soviet probes in the early 1960s. Because of SPA's observable patterns being spread over such a large area, it was not recognized as an impact basin until years later. Tactile 6, SPA. The size of the basin is immense at approximately 2,500 kilometers across and about 12 kilometers deep. That means that it stretches over nearly a quarter of the moon. Tactile 6 is a tactile creation of SPA. Again, check out the scale under the title in the upper right-hand corner of the tactile. As you explore the overall tactile, notice how different it feels than Tactile 1, which is a tactile of what we call the near side of the moon. Turn back and check out Tactile 1 again. Because the moon makes one rotation for every revolution, the same side of the moon always faces us. Therefore, observers from Earth always see the same side. It wasn't until probes and other missions flew around the moon that the far side of the moon was photographed and mapped. Do you notice how Tactile 6 does not have nearly as many smooth areas or maria as Tactile 1? Most scientists agree that this is because of a difference in crustal thickness. A thinner crust on the near side allowed much more outpouring of lava into basins than on the far side. Although it is barely visible, chances are you will not be able to feel the large circle within the outer rim of the moon that indicates SPA. This highlights the subtleties or hidden characteristics that scientists must often pick out from visual images. Tactile 7, raised line diagram showing the size of SPA to the size of the moon. Now check out Tactile 7, where we have represented the outline of the moon with a raised line. Notice also the inner raised line that represents the size of SPA without all the other details in Tactile 6. Using Tactile 7 as a guide, go back and explore Tactile 6 and see if you can discover the SPA basin. Tactually, it may be virtually impossible to find. However, with sighted assistance, it may be recognizable. All the craters explored in this book are real examples of craters found on the moon. These impacts occurred a long time ago, and we rarely are able to see an impact live. So what really happens when a large object impacts the moon, or any other solar system object for that matter? Computer modeling and studies of impact craters on Earth have allowed us to better understand the dynamics of what happens during an impact. Keep in mind that objects are typically moving at about 20 kilometers per second when they impact the moon, and that the angle of the impact will affect cratering also. It should likewise be noted that the object that impacts the moon does not leave behind a crater the same size as the object. Estimates put the size of the crater left behind by a typical impact at 10 to 20 times larger than the object itself. That is why even a relatively small object can do a lot of damage when it impacts the moon, or for that matter, the Earth. To better understand impact events, we have divided impacts into three stages based on a book by Bevan French, 1998, Traces of Catastrophe, a handbook of shock metamorphic effects in terrestrial meteorite impact structures. Tactile 8, Impact Stages. The three stages include compression, excavation, and modification. Explore Tactile 8 to get a better idea about what happens at each stage. Each of these are cross-section views. The horizontal line on each of the three stages represents the moon's surface. Starting at the left and moving to the right, allow your fingers to trace along the moon's surface until you find the point of impact. Stage 1 is the initial impact and the compression of the surface. Notice the one dot in the crater that represents the object impacting the moon. Also notice the lines below the crater, representing compression cracks below the moon's surface. Stage 2 represents the displacement of the material, which excavates the crater. During this stage, debris, called ejecta, is thrown out of the crater and falls back to the lunar surface as an ejecta blanket, including long ejecta rays. On the tactile, you'll find lines and bumps above the crater floor representing the ejecta being thrown out of the crater. The lines below the crater floor represent further cracking and fracturing occurring below the surface. Eventually, the debris being thrown from the crater will fall back to the surface and form ejecta rays. Ejecta rays extend out from the crater Tycho and can be seen with binoculars from Earth. Go back to Tactile 1 and see if you can discern the ejecta rays emanating outwards from Tycho. Note that sighted assistance may be necessary for this observation. Stage 3 includes the modification of the crater shortly after impact. Once again, starting on the far left of the bottom tactile and moving to the right, notice the layers or blanket of material on the surface of the moon, but you find no debris above the crater, since it has all settled back down to the surface. Although not all impacting has the same effect due to the angle of incidence, speed at which the object strikes, size, and composition of the impacting object, these three stages are usually found to some degree or another. Final impacts to ponder. It is interesting to note that SPA is thought to be formed from an object moving at a relatively slow speed with respect to the motion of the moon and at a high angle of incidence, thus accounting for the relatively shallow crater formed. What a sight that would have been to witness such an event from Earth! Aren't you glad you weren't on the moon when that occurred? It is humbling to realize that the moon has been hit so many times in the past, and yet, is Earth immune? Why is it we don't find as many impact craters on Earth? What factors would prevent us from finding craters on Earth? Impacts and cratering is an inevitable part of the evolution of any planetary body. It has happened in the past and will continue to mold the landscapes in the future. This book has highlighted some of the most common types of craters and has allowed you to explore what these craters are like. For more information on cratering, please see Bevan French's book, Traces of a Catastrophe, which is available online, or one of several websites that may explain this process in more detail, such as the Earth Impact Database and NASA's Remote Sensing Tutorial on Impact Craters. Acknowledgements. Special thanks to the following for their support. Doris Dayu, NASA's Lunar Science Institute. Ruth Netting, NASA Headquarters. Cass Runyon, College of Charleston. Special thanks to the following for their reviews. Center for Educational Technologies. Ken Quinn. And Sylvia Bazanko. Thank you for joining me on this journey to learn more about our moon.